Last Sunday, we began a new sermon series called Rhythms of Rest. And in the series, we are going to be looking at a different rhythm or spiritual practice each Sunday, which is rooted in Scripture and rooted in the life of Jesus. And we're going to see how each of these particular rhythms can lead to rest in our lives, not just physical rest, but rest for our souls, as we heard Jesus invite us into in our first message 2 weeks ago. The first rhythm, which we looked at last week, was silence and stillness. We talked about the world of noise that we live in and the internal noise that can often keep us from truly being silent and still before God. But God invites us to be still and know that He is God, to slow down, to pay attention to what's going on inside of us, to listen to the voice of God, and to embrace a posture of waiting and receiving, which is the heart of the gospel, rather than striving and doing. Well, today we're going to be moving on to the second rhythm of rest, which is solitude, the practice of withdrawing in order to be alone with God. Solitude is related and similar in some ways to silence and stillness. But as we're going to see, there are also unique elements of this specific rhythm of solitude, which we'll be exploring today. And so the text that we're going to focus on today is from the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 1, verses 35 through 39. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Throughout the four gospel accounts of Jesus' life, we see Jesus doing exactly what he does in this passage. He often will withdraw to a solitary place to pray, to be alone with his heavenly Father. And so Jesus, we see this throughout his life, that he practices this rhythm of solitude, of getting away to be alone with God. Later on in Mark's gospel, Jesus invites his disciples to embrace this rhythm as well. In Mark chapter 6, verse 31, Jesus tells his disciples, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." And the next verse says, "So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place." Now, in that particular case, when they arrive at the solitary place, they get a surprise that there is a crowd that has run ahead of them and is waiting for them there. So they have to wait a little bit to experience that solitude that Jesus was inviting them to. But the point here is that Jesus wants his disciples to experience the same rhythm of solitude in their lives that he experienced in his own life, taking time to get away, to be with him, to be with his heavenly Father. In the call to worship that I read at the beginning of our service from Psalm 42, the psalmist cries out in verse 2, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" Throughout Scripture, we see this same longing to be with God, to be alone with him, to be in his presence. And we see this value of doing that, taking time away from the busyness and the hurry of life to be alone with God, to spend time in his presence, away from distractions and interruptions. So similar to what I did last Sunday, when we looked at the rhythm of silence and stillness. What I want to start by looking at today is barriers to solitude. What gets in the way of taking time to be alone with God in our lives? What are the barriers to solitude? Well, the first barrier is busyness and distraction. Last week I said that we live in a world of noise that makes it hard to be still and silent. And in a similar way, we also live in a world that is constantly pushing us to be busy and distracted. And this makes it hard to practice solitude, to be alone with God. When you're asked the question, "How are you?" many people often respond to that question by saying, "I'm good, but busy." Or we say, "Doing all right, keeping busy." Right? We almost wear the term busy as a badge of honor in our society. We pack our schedule so full that there isn't any margin. We move from one thing to the next. We think it's good. I'm busy. I'm doing a lot. Now, for a lot of us, that has been disrupted over the past 6 months by COVID-19. We haven't been able to be as busy as we were before being in lockdown. But what often ends up filling our time when we're not as busy is that we often get distracted. I talked about this last week, that we are so prone to spend a lot of time on our phones and on our electronic devices, whether that's scrolling through social media or playing Candy Crush or binge watching the latest show on Netflix or watching videos on YouTube. In fact, Microsoft did a survey that found that 77% of young adults agree with this statement: when nothing is occupying my attention, the first thing I do is reach for my phone. When you're just kind of bored, not doing anything, where do we go? We grab our phone, we grab our device, we start scrolling, we start looking and doing things. And, you know, before smartphones, you might be waiting in line and your mind will wander. Or you might strike a conversation with someone next to you online. Or maybe you might even pray. But now, what do? When we're waiting in line, we just stare at our phones. Now, of course, there are other ways to be busy and distracted apart from technology, too. But technology has certainly amplified this tendency in the last 10 to 15 years. And so all of this busyness and distraction that we find ourselves in, it makes it hard sometimes to set aside time to be alone with God. In the book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, author John Mark Comer references a survey of over 20,000 Christians across the globe, which looked at obstacles to spiritual growth. And busyness was identified as one of those major obstacles to spiritual growth. Here's a quote from the study. It says, "It may be the case that Christians are assimilating to a culture of busyness, hurry, and overload, which leads to God becoming more marginalized in Christians' lives, which leads to a deteriorating relationship with God, which leads to Christians becoming even more vulnerable to adopting secular assumptions about how to live, which leads to more conformity to a culture of busyness, hurry, and overload. And then the cycle begins again." See, the less time we spend with God, the more time we are in this culture of busyness and hurry and distraction, the more that we become influenced by it, and the less time we have for God. And so busyness and distraction can be a significant barrier to practicing the rhythm of solitude. But there's another barrier, I think, that can sometimes get in the way of this rhythm too, which is actually fear of solitude. Fear of being alone with God. For some people, the idea of being completely alone, without things to distract you, without technology, just being alone in the presence of God can be a little scary. And part of this is similar to what I talked about last week with silence and stillness, that when we are alone and not distracted by entertainment or technology, things can begin to rise to the surface in our lives that we maybe don't really want to deal with. Fears, worries, insecurities, guilt, regrets. And so we're afraid to face these things, so we just avoid solitude. We keep ourselves busy and distracted. Over the summer, there was one afternoon when I went to a park to have an extended time of solitude. I was trying to practice this rhythm in my own life during my sabbatical. And so I turned off my phone. I only brought my Bible, journal, and a pen. That was it. I didn't have to be anywhere at a certain time. I could just take my time sitting in God's presence and being alone with Him. And so I started to journal some thoughts. And as I was journaling, suddenly a situation came to my mind that was actually very painful. And as I began to write about it, I felt kind of helpless. It's a situation that I can't control, a situation that I can't fix. Although that's exactly what I want to do. I want to control it, I want to fix it. And so to be honest, I was kind of annoyed that God brought this situation to my mind in the middle of my solitude. I was wanting to have just a nice, calm, and serene time with God, but instead He brought to mind this sort of painful situation. But as I continued to journal and to pray, I understood that I needed to face this situation, that God wanted to speak to me about this very thing in the midst of my solitude. But this can be a barrier to spending time in solitude, that we're afraid sometimes of what God might bring up in the midst of it. Now, sometimes our fear is actually more about just being alone. During this pandemic, some of us have hardly been able to find a moment alone, being stuck at home with a spouse or kids or other family members. We're just kind of all on top of each other in our lives. But for others, I know some of you, this pandemic has been an extended, almost constant experience of being alone. Maybe you live alone, and you've just felt isolated during this period of time. Maybe you're in a significant conflict with your spouse, or with a parent, or with a child. And although you've been living under the same roof, you really almost feel like you're living alone. And so the idea of solitude, of intentionally being alone, that doesn't sound very appealing to you right now. Now, of course, solitude is being alone not just with yourself, but alone with God. And so you're not really alone, but this can sometimes be something that causes us to fear as well. Maybe you're afraid that if you're alone with God, you're just going to feel guilty about what you've done wrong or what you haven't been doing right. You're afraid of God's condemnation, His disapproval. Maybe you're afraid that if you're alone, you won't even experience God's presence or hear His voice. You're afraid to face maybe doubts that you have about God. Or maybe you're afraid that God is going to tell you to do something that you don't want to do. He's going to tell you to stop doing something that you kind of know is wrong, or do something that is going to make you feel uncomfortable. And so you just avoid solitude because you don't want to face that at all. Now, there are probably other barriers to solitude as well. But what I want to do now is to shift focus into thinking about the value of solitude. You know, despite these barriers, despite these things that can prevent us from spending time alone with God, why is it worth it? Why should we pursue this rhythm in our lives? How does the rhythm of solitude lead to rest for our souls? Well, the first value of solitude is that it connects us to God, the only one who will satisfy. At the heart of solitude is spending time with the God of the universe, the one who created us, who knows us better than we know ourselves, who knows exactly what we need, and who loves us perfectly. God wants to spend time with us, not to condemn us, not to reprimand us, but he wants to spend time with us to show us how much he loves us, to draw us to himself, back to himself. Now, why wouldn't we want to spend time with someone like that? So often, we spend our time and our lives chasing after things that won't ultimately satisfy us. And this is what often drives us into busyness, into distraction. We get busy because we're seeking validation or importance or people's approval, and we distract ourselves with the hope that maybe some of these distractions will bring us happiness or fulfillment, entertainment or pleasure or influence on social media. But none of these things bring us satisfaction or rest. We will only find true rest and satisfaction in God alone. And solitude is the very thing that brings us into his presence. That's why Jesus got up early in the morning while it was still dark, left the house where he was staying, and he went off to a solitary place to pray, as we read in Mark 1. You know, the day before this, Jesus had been very busy doing ministry. He was teaching in the synagogue, he was driving out demons, he was healing sick people until late in the evening. He was doing amazing things. But Jesus knew that his ultimate identity didn't come from being a great teacher or even a great healer. It came from his identity as the Son of God, the Son of the Heavenly Father. As Jesus heard the voice of heaven speak at his baptism, "This is my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." That is who Jesus really is. That's his identity. And so he woke up early in the morning to have some solitude with his Father, to commune with him, to be reminded again of his ultimate identity, that his identity rested in his relationship to his Father. Now, if Jesus, the Son of God, needed to do that regularly, needed to get away, to spend time with his Father, don't you think that maybe we might need that too? I mean, if you were to ignore time alone with your spouse, for those of you who are married, or ignore time with a close friend, or with your child, what would happen to that relationship eventually? It would die. The same is true with our relationship with God. If we never spend time with our Heavenly Father, our relationship with him is going to suffer, and eventually may even die. Henry Nouwen put it this way: without solitude, it is virtually impossible to live a spiritual life. We do not take the spiritual life seriously if we do not set aside some time to be with God and listen to him. God invites us into this experience of solitude because he knows this is exactly what we need. But there's another value to the rhythm of solitude, which we see in our text from Mark 1, which is that solitude also helps put things in the proper perspective. Jesus had just had an incredibly popular and successful day of ministry, right? Simon Peter and the other disciples, they wake up in the morning and they're like, "Where did Jesus go?" They can't find him. He's not there. And so they go searching for him. And they finally find him in this solitary place. And they exclaim, "Jesus, everyone's looking for you." In other words, "Jesus, where have you been? I mean, yesterday, remember yesterday was this amazing day. People were healed. Demons were cast out. Come on, let's get back to doing that again. We've got some more sick people that need healing. You know, maybe we can set up shop here in Capernaum. You know, people are going to come far and wide to see the great miracle worker, Jesus of Nazareth. Come on, Jesus, let's dig in here. How does Jesus respond? In verse 36, Jesus replies, "Let's go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." In other words, sorry guys, we're moving on. I've got a mission. And setting up shop here in Capernaum, that isn't the mission. You see, Jesus has such clarity about his mission, his identity, his calling. And what had he been doing just before this? Spending time in solitude with his Father. When you spend time alone with God, it puts things into perspective. It brings a certain clarity to things. During my sabbatical this summer, God gave me some greater clarity about my calling as a pastor. And that came through spending several different times of solitude, just praying to God, listening to him, journaling. Clarity, perspective came in the midst of solitude. There have been some times over the past couple of weeks where I have gotten wrapped up in worries about how to balance hybrid learning for our kids and Rochelle and I both going back to work and caring for our little baby Christopher. And it has been practicing the regular rhythm of solitude over these last couple of weeks that has helped to put things into proper perspective for me, to bring those worries to God. And to be reminded of his sovereignty and his love for me and my family. And to be given a bigger picture, a bigger perspective on life and this world that goes beyond just the present stresses. I don't know about you, but especially during a year like 2020, like we've been having, with all of its disruption and uncertainty, we need perspective. We need solitude with God that can provide a much needed grounding for us to help us put things into a proper perspective. So how do we actually practice solitude? You know, last week I said that when we talk about these rhythms, we don't want to just talk about them, but we want to actually practice them. We want to dive into them. So what does it look like practically to spend time alone with God? Well, like I mentioned last week with silence and stillness, the first thing is you need to actually set aside a time and a place to do this. Where and when can you set aside time to be with God in solitude in your life? Now, for some people, it might be a specific room or a place in your home, and you're going to just make sure that you're in that spot, you're spending time with God, maybe early in the morning or late at night. When can you do that? For others, maybe you want to get out of your home, and you want to get out into God's creation. And so there's a place where you want to go, and that's going to be your place where you spend that solitude time with God. The key is to set a time, to set a place, and then make sure that you're away from distractions, that you turn off the phone, you stay away from the TV, you close the laptop. And you also want to make sure that it's a time when you're not going to be interrupted by other people either. Now, if you're married, that might mean talking to your spouse about how each of you can do this, to give each other time and space to be alone with God regularly. Now, when it comes time to actually the time of solitude, there's a lot of freedom. It might be very different depending on your context. I think it's great to set aside time to be alone with God at least once a day, and ideally more than once. We talked about the idea of a daily office of pausing, you know, two or three times a day, but at least starting maybe with once a day. And the length of that time may vary, it might depend on other factors. If this is brand new to you, maybe you want to start by just spending 5 minutes or 10 minutes of solitude with God. That might go to 15 or 30 minutes or even an hour or more. And during your time of solitude, you may want to just have some time of being still and silent, like we talked about last week. You probably want to make sure that you have some time where you're reading God's Word, because that's how God speaks to us, through His Word. We're going to talk more about that in the coming week. You probably want to incorporate some type of prayer of speaking back to God, listening to Him. And we're going to talk more about that again in the coming week. And maybe you want to journal in your solitude time to write about what's been going on in your heart, to reflect on your day or your week, or maybe writing out a prayer to God. The key is to connect with God. Don't feel pressured to have to fill up your time with lots of spiritual activities. Remember, solitude is moving away from busyness and distraction. So whatever is going to work for you to help you connect with God during that time. In addition to daily rhythms of solitude, it can be good to practice longer periods of solitude, maybe weekly, during a time of Sabbath that we're going to be talking about more next week. Or you might want to even set aside a whole day or a half day every once in a while to get away and spend more extended time with God. Retreats can be a great setting for those more extended times of solitude. But however it looks for you, the key is to just start doing it. Now, last Sunday, I gave us actually the opportunity to practice that rhythm of silence right in the middle of our service, right in the middle of my message. That might be a little bit more challenging during the middle of this message, but I don't know where you are and there might be other people around you, so we're not going to practice solitude in this moment. But I want to challenge you to think about where you can be in solitude sometime this next week. And to put that rhythm into practice this week to try it. So right now, I want you to think, and maybe even write down if you have a pen and paper or typing in your phone or something, I want you to think about time and a place that you're going to practice solitude this week. Write down how long you're going to give yourself, how long you want to spend that time in solitude. Maybe jot down a couple of ideas of what you might want to do during that time of connecting with God. And then I want to encourage you to put it on your calendar. Now, lock it in to that time slot. Set a reminder on your phone. Set an alarm to go off. Whatever you have to do to make it happen, do it. Because it's kind of worthless if we just think about it, if we just talk about it. God really wants us to experience this rhythm. As we close, I just want to remind you, solitude, it's not a have to. It's not meant to be an obligation or a burden. Remember, Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Solitude is a gift. It's a get to. It's an invitation from the God of the universe, from your Heavenly Father, from your Savior, to spend some time with Him. He longs to spend time with you, not to condemn you, not to reprimand you. He longs to remind you of His love for you. And He longs to give you a proper perspective on your life. So won't you receive this gift of His presence with you, this gift of time alone with your God? And as you do, watch how it changes you and how it gives you rest for your soul. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would help us to see this practice of solitude, of time alone with you, as a gift. As something that is amazing to think of, that you, the God of the universe, the one who has created us, who knows us more than we even know ourselves, that you want us to spend time with you, to be in your presence, to receive from you. Help us to run to that place, to have that desire, like Psalm 42, that we would hunger and thirst and pant for you, for time with you. Remove the barriers, Lord. Remove the busyness and the distractions. Remove the fear that we might have about spending time with you. And help us to see the gift that it is, that you are the only one who will satisfy, and that you want to give us proper perspective as we spend time with you. Draw us to yourself. Lead us into this rhythm and help us to experience the life and the joy and the rest that comes as we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.